Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Yotes, and we will begin on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of Shimon Lakish. Quickly to review what we learned in the previous shiur. In the previous shiur, we were discussing the shechita of the kana, the trachea, the windpipe of an animal. And as we described, going from the lungs up to the mouth, first there are the small taboys, which we learned don't even completely encircle the entire circumference of the kana. Then there's the tabas gedola, which is towards the head, more towards the head. Then on top of that, there is what the Gemara calls the kaiva, which is the helmet. It looks like a helmet on top of the tabas gedola. That helmet tapers off. It gets narrower towards the top. Rashi says it looks like a quill. We're using a quill as an example, which is called the Shippur Kaiva, as the Kaiva starts to taper. And on top of that are the Chiti. There are two glands that look like kernels. And in the Mishnah we learned yesterday, there was Machlokes Rabbanan Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agreed that the proper place, in the Mishnah at least, everybody agreed that the proper place to do the shechita is on the tabas gedola. But there's machlokes Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbanan. What happens if you didn't do the entire shechita in the tabas gedola? You did part of it on top of the tabas gedola, which we discussed earlier in our Masechta, that one of the disqualifications of a shechita is hagroma, when it goes outside of the place. Will this be considered a hagroma? Rabbanan said, yes, that if you go outside of the tabas gedola, it's considered a hagroma. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said that if most of the shechita took place on the tabas gedola, even if you went partially into the area above the tabas gedola, it would not be considered a hagroma. And that's where we begin today's shiur. We begin today's shiur of Shimon ben Lakish, Ach Shebechuda de Kaiva. Everything that we've been discussing till now is up to the tabas gedola. The helmet and the top of the helmet certainly was not a place for shechita. And in today's shiur, we begin with Reish Lakish teaching us that that's considered a valid place for the shechita. Karlei Rabbi Yochanan. So as Rabbi Yochanan heard Reish Lakish say this, he said to him, Gisa Gisa. Two pshat, my son, Rishon, what does Gisa Gisa mean? One pshat is Gisa Gisa, you're expanding too far. You're allowing too far up on the kana for shechita to take place. Another nice pshat that I saw, the Nemukah Yosef said this pshat. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were brother-in-law. They were married to sisters. So Rabbi Yochanan said to his brother-in-law, Gisa, Gisa is Lashon Gis, my brother-in-law, Gisa, that's not the right place for shechita. Amra Papa Mishmei Derava. And again, we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi teaches us. Pag b'chiti, I said on top of the helmet, we have the chiti. And he makes a statement that if you shecht by the area of the chiti, that's a treifa. Actually, it's more like a nevela than a treifa. Ask the Gemara, what does rapapi mean? What does rava mean? Does it mean paga v'nelga behen? Did you actually cut the chiti? D'ksiv v'yifkaba v'yamas? And therefore, according to this, only if you actually touch the chiti is it considered that you actually cut the chiti, is it considered treif? Dilma pagavaloi naga. Even if you didn't touch it, you just got very close, that's already not good. Where do we have a concept that the word paga doesn't mean that you actually touched? Because we know, v'yifkaba malachim elakim, when Yaakov made them malachim, they didn't do anything to him, he just met them. They didn't touch him. Itma, amra pap mishmed rava, shai b'chiti ksheira. So he learns, as long as you do not cut through the entire chitim, the animal is still kosher. Amar Rav Eimer, have a kemne kameder of chi bereder of avya. I was learning by him, vamali, and he too taught me the shai b'chiti. As long as you do not completely slit the chiti, it's still a kosher animal. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. The same psak. However, says the Gemara, Ma'abar of Ashi Amar, Pog b'chitik sheria, shai b'chitik treifa. So he's more machmer. And he says, if you get right up to the area of the chiti, but you don't slit the chiti at all, it's kosher. But if you cut the chiti, even if you don't cut them all the way through, it's already treifa. And paskins the Gemara, the hilchasa, the halacha is, mishikupur l'gmatik sheira, as long as you're still on the helmet, it's kosher, and that is the case of shai b'chiti. But if you don't, if you cut the chiti, the halacha is that it's treif. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman, achshir mishipur kaiva l'mata. He said, if you cut on that area, the, anywhere on the kaiva, on the helmet, it's kosher. Amalei Rav Chanan bar Rav Ketina l'Rav Nachman, k'man. If we go back to the introductory remarks I made today, shir, this opinion that you could do a shechita on the shipur kaiva and it'll still be a kosher shechita doesn't seem to follow not the opinion like Rabbanan v'like Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, l'Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda. Because as I said at the beginning of the shir, if we go back to the Mishnah we learned in the previous shir, the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to go outside of the Tabas Gedol at all. Rav Yosef Yehuda said that if you shechted mostly within the Tabas Gedolah and you went a little out of it, you're fine. But here we're saying that you could shech completely on the helmet, which is above the Tabas Gedolah. So how could you pass in this way? They're asking. So he answered, Amalei. So he responded, Ano lo chilik yadana v'lo bilik yadana. So the machlek, there's two pshatim that I saw. One is the chilik and bilik are just names. Says, don't bother me with different names. I'm going to tell you what I learned in yeshiva is the halacha. Another pshat that I saw, nice pshat. Chilik means a complete cut. What is the opinion of the Rabbanan? That the entire cut has to be within the Tabas Gedola. What is the opinion of Yosef Yehuda? That most of the cut has to be within the Tabas Gedola. So he says, I don't agree with what you're telling me, that all of the cut has to be chilik. That all of the cut has to be within the Tabas Gedola. Nor do I not agree with a halacha that would say that most of the cut has to be within the Tabas Gedola. Anoshmatzidana. I know what I learned in yeshiva. That I learned in yeshiva. Amrav Chibar Abba Amrav Yochanan. Vamali Amrav Abba Razav the Amrav Chanina. Vamali Amrav Yaakov Idi Amri Shubam Levi. Vishipua Kaiva Lamatik Shera. As long as it's within the Shipua, as long as it's within the helmet, you could shecht and it'll be a kosher shechita. Continues the Gemara. So now, let's think about what we've been learning in the last two shiurim. In our shiur today, we've reviewed the opinion of the Rabbanan, which is the strictest opinion, that says you have to shecht completely within the Tabas Gedola. We reviewed the opinion of Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, who says that as long as most of the shechita is within the Tabas Gedola, it's fine. And we also learned in the previous shiur, the opinion of Chanina ben Antignus that says that you could shecht in the area of the kaiva altogether. Says the Gemara, so therefore Rav Shuben Levi makes the following comment. Megramis the Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, if you went somewhat outside of the Tabas, what would be the halacha? It's treif. According to Rav Yossi, it's kosher. So he comments, Megramis the Rabbanan. What the Rabbanan considered is a situation of Hagrama, Sheir Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda is fine. And what Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda considers not kosher, because according to him, only if most of Yeshchita took place within the Tabas Gedola is it kosher, would be Sheir Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Everybody is one step more lenient. Ask the Gemara, what's Rabbi Shuben Levi teaching us? If we learned the daf before, we understand this by ourselves. From Pshita, isn't this obvious? Answers the Gemara. We learned in our previous year the statement of Rav Chanina ben Antignus. Hated Rav Chanina ben Antignus. So the way we understood it, which is clearly the way Rabbi Shuben ben Levi also did, he was responding to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina said, you have to make sure that most of your shechita takes place within the Tabas Gedola. Says of Chanina ben Antignus, no, you can have it all completely above. But says the Gemara, who says that's the way to understand Rav Chanina ben Antignus? Madu Taima, Rav Chanina ben Antignus ad Rabbanan Kai. Rav Chanina ben Antignus was speaking to Rabbanan. And the Rabbanim said that you have to have the entire Shechita within the Tabas Gedayla. She says you don't have to have it entirely within the Tabas Gedayla. But who says that he was being even more makel than Rabbi Yosef Chanina? Kamash Malan, that he wasn't speaking to the Rabbanim. He was even speaking to Rabbi Yosef Chanina and even being more lenient than Rabbi Yosef Chanina. But now ask the Gemara, who says? Vema HaChanami. Maybe that isn't the way to understand Rav Chanina ben Tignis. And if that's the way we're going to understand Rav Chanina ben Tignis, he'll end up being not so lenient. He'll only be more lenient than the Rabbanim, but not necessarily more lenient than Rav Yosef Chanina. Says the Gemara, let's look at his words that we learned in the previous year. The previous year, where Rav Chanina ben Tignis' position was introduced, was Hayed. Hayed means they said testimony against everybody's opinion. If he was only speaking to the Rabbanon and he wasn't responding to Rabbi Yosef Chanina at all, then he shouldn't have used the word Hayed. He should have said Hayed Olam Mibayalei. The fact that he said Hayed means that he knows the Rabbanon's opinion. He knows Rabbi Yosef Chanina's opinion, and he's saying, I'm being more lenient than both of those. And says the Gemara, V'hichas Rabbi Chanina Matignas. And the Halacha actually follows that opinion, the Koyr of Nachman Kavasei. Because Rav Nachman agrees with that opinion. So we end up with the halacha being with the most lenient opinion, that even if you shecht on the helmet, on the kaiva, anywhere on the kaiva, it's still kosher shechita. Of course, this is the poskim say on an animal, on a chicken, your kana is very small, so it's a much different situation. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi. Machlokes b'shachat shnei shlish v'higrim shlish. So he makes the following comment, Rav Huna. When do we have the machloikis between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef Behuda? Strictly in a situation where he first did a proper shechita, and the last third he did with hagrama, outside of the Tabas Gedayla. The Rabbanan, Savri, the Rabbanan of the opinion, kul shechita binan. For it to be a valid shechita, it has to be all within the Tabas Gedayla. The Ksavi Kula Shchita Be'inam B'Tabas Gedoyla. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rubika Kula. If most of Yishchita took place within the Tabas Gedoyla, even though part of it was outside of the Tabas Gedoyla, given that it was only a partial amount, it was only the minority, it's kosher. So there's an incredible Ritva here. The Ritva says, so the Rabbanan and Al Mishnah are teaching us that in order for the shechita to be kosher, it has to be all within the Tabas Gedoyla. And what would be the halacha that if two-thirds were within the Tabas and one-third was outside of the Tabas, it would be treif. There's a halacha that's going to keep on coming up in today's shir and throughout this mesechta, that shechita's roiv of a siman is enough. That means you don't have to, we usually shech the whole siman, but apidin, if you shecht roiv of a siman, it's good enough. So says the Ritva, even though the Rabbanan are telling us that if you shechted part of the shechita above the Tabas Gedoyla, you have a situation of a hagrama, what would be the halacha if you only shechted two-thirds of the Tabas Gedoyla? And you didn't do anything else. What would be the halacha according to the Rabbanan? He says it's kosher. Which is a difficult din to understand. If the Rabbanan agree that if you only shechted two-thirds of your Tabas Gedoyla, it's kosher, so why if you shechted two-thirds of the Tabas Gedoyla and one-third above the Tabas Gedoyla, it's no good? Manavshach. If you hold of Roiv, you should hold of Roiv. If you don't hold of Roiv, you should not hold of Roiv. And the Achronim tried to explain this Ritva, because the Halach is like the Ritva. So the Chem de Shloim has a very interesting approach. He says, there are two ways how to do shechita. This is the way he explains. There's one way of doing shechita where you decide to rely on roiv. You're only going to shecht roiv of the siman. And there's another way of doing shechita where you decide to shecht the entire siman. When you're shechting roiv, that's fine. As we're going to learn many times, roiv is adequate. But if you're going to shecht the whole siman, then you have to do it right. And if you shecht partially outside of the siman, you have a problem. That's the Chem de Shloim's approach. The Ritz Chayis has a very lomdish approach. The lomdish approach that he takes is that there's a fundamental question in halacha: how do we look at roif? How do we look at Rav? Is Rav to be said that even though the Torah tells us to do the whole thing, if you did most, it's good enough? That's one way of looking at it. Or the other way of looking at it is that Rav is considered like you did the whole thing. Again, is Rav pshat that it's good enough? Or is pshat that Rav is considered like you did the entire thing? The Rabbanim say that Rav isn't good enough. Rav is like you did the entire thing. So if you did the entire thing, you have to do it right. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's approach is that Rav is good enough. So as long as you shechted Rav within this Tabas Gedolah, you're fine. Continues the Gemara. Aval, what will be the halacha? Higrim shlish. First you started the first third outside of the right place. And then the shachat shnei shlish. And then you did shechita for the last two thirds. Divrei HaKol Psula. That will not be a kosher shechita. Why will it not be a kosher shechita? The kinaf echiyusa. And we have to make it establish a point for our shiur that's going to keep on coming up in today's shiur. When you slaughter an animal, at what point of the shechita does the halacha assume that that's the moment of expiration, at the moment of death? The moment when you got 51% of the siman geshachtim. So the Gemara makes the following point. If you first shechted one third outside of the right point, and then you shecht, now you go into the right area, you go into the tabas, gedolah. And at that point, the animal dies at 51%. So let's think about it. Yes, when the animal died at the 51% point, you were shechting the right place. But let's analyze that 51%. Most of that 51%, you shechted in the wrong place. And that's why it's possible. Let's read the Gemara. Aval higrim shlish. V'shachat shnei shlish. First you did a hagrama and then you did a proper shechita, according to Rav Huna Divrei HaKol Psula. Why? The kinaf dechiyusa, at the moment the animal is going to die, be'inen ruba b'shechita, you have to add that the shechita should have been done properly, v'leka. And it doesn't exist. And there's a beautiful vart from the Sefer Teres Chaim, it's a little pidrush, to explain this entire concept. Why the moment of death, which is again a concept that's going to repeat itself in today's shiur, is so important. He says like this. He says that we know when somebody dies, he becomes tamei. Why does a person become tamei when he dies, Rechman Tzlan? A meis is avia voisa tamei. Why is a person who dies, Rechman Tzlan, why is that body avia voisa tamei? So he answers because it encounters the Malach HaMavis. And any encounter with the Malach HaMavis, who are Satan, who are Yetzirah, brings Tumah. What is the purpose of Shechita? Shechita counters the Malach HaMavis. And an animal that's properly slaughtered doesn't have the Malach HaMavis affect him. And therefore there's no Tumah. So he says, beautiful Pshat. He says, we have to look at the crucial moment, that 51% that I spoke about a moment ago. If at that moment it was shechita, a proper shechita, then there's no Malach HaMavis. And you can eat the meat. There's no Tumah. If there was Malach HaMavis, then you can eat the meat. And in fact, he says a beautiful pshat. There's a halacha that we've learned many times already, and we'll learn many more times in this Masechta. The halacha is, if you shecht an animal that's treifa, so the animal, you can't eat. It's a treifa. But it's not matama. But if it's in the veil, it's matama. So the question is, my nafkamina. You can't eat either of those pieces of meat. So why do we treat treifa different than a nevela? The answer is, nevela didn't have a proper shechita. That's the definition of nevela. If there was no proper shechita, it encountered the Malach HaMavis. And that's why it's tamei. Treifa, you may not be allowed to eat the meat, but it still had a proper shechita. And a proper shechita avoids the Malach HaMavis, and therefore there is no tumah. In fact, that's why he goes on to say that we know Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Miriam all passed away with a Mises Nashika. What does a Mises Nashika mean? It was a Mises Nashika that they avoided the Malach HaMavis. And that's why it's Tzadikim and not Matama. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, Trafuna ad Rabba. Maybe we could make just the opposite argument. Leimamar Ipcha. Perhaps we should argue just the opposite. Machloikis, do you know where we have a machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan? Strictly in a case, Shehigrim Shlish, Veshachet Shnei Shlish. Why? And this is the way that Achrenim explained this Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Sover, needed to have a chatzi kana pogum. What would be the halacha if you have a kana? It's a damaged kana. Less, a drop less than half. Just let's use numbers. 49% of your kana is ripped. So since it's not mostly ripped, it's only 49%, the animal's not a treifa. And now somebody goes and cuts that little drop from 49 to 51%. The animal's a kosher animal. Why? Because we look at the moment of expiration, and at the moment of expiration, the animal, you did the proper shechita. So therefore, suggests the Gemara, that even if you did the first third with hagrama, we don't care. Because we look at the moment of the shechita, when you hit 51, and then you did a shechita. That would be Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's sava needed to have a chatzi kana pogum, that just like there it's considered a valid shechita, here too it will be considered a valid shechita. Rabbanan and the Rabbanan disagree. Why? Because this, the Rabbanans say, is worse than that case. Because there, indeed, you only slaughtered a very small drop from 49 to 51%. But you never took your knife, and you never did an act of shechita in an incorrect place. Here, where you start outside of the right place, you can't ignore that. Hasam makam shechita. You never went out of the proper place. Hacha, but here where you started with hagrama, it's, and hagrama means that you were shechting in a place that isn't the place for shechita. La makam shechita. But could be, says the Gemara, that everybody will agree, shachet shnei shlish, where you'll have a case where you did the shechita on two thirds first, and then you did a hikram shlish, and the last third was the hagrama. Maybe even the Rabbanan will agree that's kosher. Rabbi Yossi will certainly hold its kosher. Why will the Rabbanan hold its kosher? Because as I said a few moments ago, everybody subscribes to the concept, Roy Shalacha Kamayu. And here you had Roy with the Shechita in the right place. And that's also when the animal died within that right place. Amalei Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef, what makes you want to say this? Because you're saying we have this concept of Roy. Man Leimala Dahu Ruba Dahasim La Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Ketarila. You know, maybe that Mishnah only represents the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. You're arguing that the Rabbanan should agree that in a two-thirds Shechita, one third hagrama should be mutter, based on the concept of Ruba Shalach Kamayu. Who said the Rabbanan agreed to that concept? Maybe that Mishnah that teaches us the halacha of Ruba Shalach Kamayu only follows the opinion of Yosef Yehuda. Dim man lemela dahu Ruba dahasam lav Rabbi Yosef Ketanala, that it wasn't something that we learned from Yosef. Dim Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Ketanala, and the Rabbanan don't agree. Says Abaya, Amul Abayis, Rabbi says to Rabbi Yosef, Roiv is one of the most fundamental concepts of halacha. Otaka Ruba de Alma. Are we now going to say that this concept of Roiv, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Ketana Lo? Only Rabbi Yosef Yehuda agrees to Roiv? And the Rabbanan don't agree with Roiv? How can we even make such a suggestion? So he responds, Chas v'Shalom. I never meant to say that the Rabbanan don't agree to the concept of Roiv. What I meant to say was, and no Ruba de Shechita Kamana. I'm talking in the halachas of Shechita, the Shemana Lo, because in Shechita we see that they argue, and maybe when the Mishnah says Roiv is affected by Shechita, it will only be following the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, not the Rabbanan. Lishna Achrina, and it's important to point this out, there's nothing different in the Lishna Achrina than in the first Lashon, just who says what. Lishna Achrina, Amalei Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi, Machloikis Shigrim Shlish, V'Shachet Shnei Shlish. The Machloikis is where first you did Hagrama of a third, and then you did shechita on two-thirds. The Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Sava, Mida Hava Chatzi Kana Pogum, since at the moment of expiration you were doing a shechita, the animal is going to be kosher. Rabbanan will disagree, because Hasam, when you did Chatzi Kana Pogum, you never shechted in the wrong spot. Hacha, La Makam Shechita. But he suggests, Aval Shachet Shnei Shlish, if you first did a shechita on two-thirds, so you have everything working in your favor, that you had the moment of expiration with a shechita, and you also first, and at that point it was also roi b'shechita, and only afterwards you did the hagrama on a shlish, the rehakok sheir, even the rabbanan will agree it's kosher. And what pushes me to say this, he says, Dotanan, based on the Mishnah, we're going to learn later in Amasechta, that says, Rubi Shalechod, Kamayu. Says Maskela Rav Chizda, to which Rav Chizda questions, Man Lemelon, what's pushing you to say this? Because you're saying that we have the Mishnah of Rubi Shalechod, Kamayu. So he asks, Man Lemelon, the who Rubi the Hassam, who says that everybody agrees with that Mishnah? Man Lemelon, the who Rubi the Hassam, La Rav Yosef Yehuda Ketanila, was maybe only the opinion of Yosef Yehuda. Dimmer, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Ketanila, and the Rabbanim don't agree. Amalei, Rabbi Yosef, to which Rabbi Yosef says, Otter Karuba the Alma, whenever we have Roiv, are we going to suggest it's only Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Ketanila, and the Rabbanim don't agree to the concept of Roiv? Amalei, he says, that's not what I meant. And now Ruba the Shechita Kamina. Maybe in Hilchas Shechita, it's only Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds of Roiv, not the Rabbanim. Everywhere else, the Rabbanim certainly hold of Roiv. Why would I want to say that? Because I know, as we learned in our Mishnah, the Shmanel of the Pliga. Says the Gemara, another case. Higrim Shlish, let's analyze this case. First it was a grum on a third of the, that means it was slaughtered in the wrong plot. Vishachet Shlish, and then there was a Shechita in the right place. Vihigrim Shlish, and then there was again a grum on the last third. Rav Huna Merav Kshera, Rav Huna says that this animal is kosher. Yehuda Amar Rav Treifa. Yehuda says it's Treifa. And the Gemara explains both of their opinions. Rav Huna Amar Rav Kshera. Rav Huna says it's Kosher. Because what do we look at, as I said earlier in the Shir? We look at the moment of death. What is the moment of death? When you hit 51%. And here, since the middle third was being done with Shechita, the moment of death was with Shechita. Kinafka Chiyusa B'Shechita Kanafka. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Tarfin will hold its treif, because we have to look at the totality of the act, and if we look at the totality of the act, two-thirds was with Agrama, and one-third was with Shechita. Being Ruva B'Shechita, we have to have most of the neck, most of the kana being slit with Shechita, and here you don't have it, because it was only one-third Shechita. That will be the basis of this Machlaikus. So now we have another case. What will be the halacha of shachet shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shachet shlish? So here you have, like in everything in life, something better and something worse. On one hand, here you have most of the animal being cut with a shechita. That's the good news. The bad news is, the moment of expiration, the 51% mark, was with agrama. So Rabbi Yehuda Merav, kshera. Yehuda says here it's kosher. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion. He says we look at the totality of the act. And the totality of the act, most of it was Shechita. In the previous case, most of it was Agrama. Here it was mostly Shechita. Says the Gemara, Oshi Shailula Rav Huna. They went and asked Rav Huna this question, Amla Treifa. He said it's Treifa. Why do you say Treifa? As the Gemara is going to explain. Because he looks at the moment of death. The moment of death, as we've been explaining in our entire shir, is when you hit 51%. And when you would be at that 51% mark, there was a grum, not a shechita. Shama Rav Yehuda Ikbed. So Rav Yehuda hears Rav Huna, and he gets upset at him. He says, Trifna Umachshir, Umachshir Natarf. You're always saying just the opposite of me. When I said it was treif, you said it was kosher. And when I said it's kosher, you said it's treif. Can't you ever agree with me? Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna starts reconsidering. And he says, Shapa Kamakbid. You know what? Maybe he's right for not being happy with what I'm saying. Number why? Chada. And let's look at the words of the Gemara. In the second case, we have to make this observation. In the second case of Shachat Shlish, V'Higrim Shlish, V'Shachat Shlish, we have Rabbi Yehuda reporting his psak in the name of Rav. When they asked Rav Huna, he didn't report it in the name of Rav. He said it on his own opinion. So he says, you know, Rabbi Yehuda is telling me what Rav said. And I'm just saying it on my own opinion. So maybe I should defer to Rabbi Yehuda. Or Rabbi Yehuda Shabakam Makbid. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is right of being upset at me. Chada, because he heard the halacha in the second case directly from Rav, V'noloi shmili. V'oid ha'ikaru b'shchita. As Ritva explains the Gemara. There are two different factors. This is the approach to Ritva takes to this Gemara. We've been looking at two different factors. One factor is the moment of death. Was it shchito agrama? And one is, we look at the totality of the act. So we, till now, and that's actually going to be the maskana of the Gemara, say, it's either or. Either the moment of death is what counts, or the totality of the act what counts. But now, Rav Huna is starting to rethink. And he's saying, who says that they're exclusive of each other? Maybe the moment of death counts, and certainly, we should look at the totality of the act. And therefore, if the moment of death was b'shchita, I'm going to say the animal is kosher. Certainly in a case where most of the animal was killed with shchita, it should certainly be kosher, and I should agree with Rav Yehuda. V'oid, ha'ik ruba b'shchita. Beautiful explanation of the Ritva. Amalei Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda tells Rav Huna, loy ta'adabak. Stick to your position. Don't retract. Dimkein, mafsada le'kamaisa. He says, you can't have both opinions, as I just said a moment ago. It's either or. Either we look at the moment of death, or we look at the totality of the act. In the first case, let's review the first case. One third by agrama, one third with shchita, and one third with agrama. Why did you, Rav Huna, take the lenient position? Because you look at the moment of death, that 51% mark that I keep on talking about. The kinafka chiyuso, b'chsheru kinafka. That 51% mark was at a time of shchita. So if you're going to take that opinion, hachinami, you have to say the same thing here. Kinafka chiyusa, when you had one-third with shchita, one-third with agroma, and one-third with shchita, even though you're 100% correct that if we look at the totality of the act, it was two-thirds shchita, one-third agroma, but that isn't what's most important. What's most important is the moment of death, and the moment of death was with agroma, and that's why it's treif. In fact, there's some rishonim that say that this is the halach lamaisa. The fact that Rav Chizda told Rav Huna to stick to his position shows that this is the well thought out position and we should pass him this way. Again, it's not really very relevant la halacha. Ask the Gemara another question. Barmine, shakat shlish, says the Gemara, ikla Rav Nachman l'sura, so along the same lines, Rav Nachman arrives to the city of Sura, Barmine, and he asked the following question. Shachet shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shachet shlish. So we have two-thirds shchita. That's the good news. The bad news is the moment of death was with agrama. Mahu, how do we treat this animal? Amalei lav, hainadam Reb Elazar ben Menuni. So he commented, isn't this what Reb Elazar ben Menuni taught us? Dam Reb Elazar ben Menuni, shchita asui kamasrik. If shchita is done like a comb, uneven, ksheira. So he assumed that that's what he meant, and that's kosher. So he said, that's not what Reb Elazar ben Menuhin meant. V'dilma b'makom shchita. Reb Elazar ben Menuhin was telling us that if you don't make a straight cut, it's still kosher. But it all has to be within the makom shchita. Whereas in this case, where we have shachat v'higrim v'shachat, where the entire act was not done in a makom shchita, because the hagram is not a makom shchita, it could be Reb Elazar ben Menuhin will agree that it's treif. So he asked, if Reb Elazar ben Menuhin is speaking about a case that was all done within the proper area, so then why do I need him to teach us this halacha? But makom shchita ma'ala memra. What do I need him to teach this halacha? If he never went out of the proper place, why should it not be kosher? Answers the Gemara, ma'ala time bina shita mukhras, because if we didn't have Reb Elazar ben Menuhin, we would think just because you shechted only within the proper area, it isn't good enough. Because it isn't a straight cut. And therefore, he had to teach us that as long as within the proper area, it's a kosher shchita. But to teach us, but that we should also expand and say that shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish, so you went out of the proper area, that it's also kosher, that I can't use Reb Elazar ben Menuhin to teach me. Sim b'chad. Says the Gemara, Yosef Abba Churi de Rav Kahana, Yosef Kahana Kameid Rav Yehuda. So the way the Mefarshim explained just the story. Rav Yehuda was giving a shir, and the Talmidim would sit in rows. So Rav Kahana sat in the first row, and Rav Abba sat in the second row. The Yosef Akamar, and Rav Yehuda was saying the shir, and he said the following. Shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish. What is the halacha? Mahu, amal shchita sekshera. Why? Because we look at the totality, and it was mostly b'shchita. What about a case, he asked, higrim shlish, v'shachat shlish, v'higrim shlish, mahu, amal shchita sepsula. Why? Again, we look at the roiv, and here the roiv was b'hagroma. Another question, shachat b'mokim nekef, case that I discussed, the Gemara discussed, and I'm an Aleph, where 49% of the net of the kana is torn, and the shaykh just does the last wrap, amal shchitasik shayr, as we learned in Amman Aleph. Why? Because we look at the moment of death, and the moment of death was through shchita. Shachat upagaba neck of mahu. Again, we have a case like this. You have this neck, this kana, that has a hole. So instead of just taking that hole into consideration and just shechting a drop, like I keep on saying, going from 49 to 51%, he started shechting on the part that is whole, because 51% of your neck is fine. He cuts that part, and then he comes to the part that has the hole afterwards, because that's what's going to happen. What's going to be the din? Amalei shkitas psula. Very difficult to understand. Azal Reb Abba, Amar Kamed Reb Elazar. Azar Belazar Amar Kamed Reb Yochanan. Amalei Mashna. Why is there a difference if Shachat B'Makam Nekev is fine? What's the difference if you get to the hole afterwards or you get to the hole before? If the hole isn't an issue, it's not an issue. Amalei, so he said, this is the way I understand it. Shachat B'Makam Nekev, if you take the hole into consideration, and after the place where there's a hole, that's where you begin to slaughter, Nasa, K'misha Shachat Ovi K'chavim, V'Gama Yisrael. It's considered like a case where while we know a guy can't be a shaykhid, while we know a guy began the shechita and Yisrael completed it. And before anybody asks, what about the problem of Shia when you go from the Jew to the guy? So we learned early in the Masechta, the simple teretz is that there's a Shia to the Shia, there's an amount, and you beat that amount. So Nask Misha Shachar Ayvik Chavim, the Goma Yisrael. Whereas, he says, Shachar Pagaba Nekev, what about if you shecht and afterwards you get to the Nekev, it's treated Naskim Yishachat Yisrael as if the Jew began the act of Shechita, the Gomer Ayvik HaChavim. And therefore, just like the halach is, if a Jew begins and a guy ends, it's treif, but if a guy begins and a Jew ends, it's kosher, that's how we look at these two things. Karlei, so he called him Ayvik HaChavim, Ayvik HaChavim. And Rav Shalom tells us not to make a mistake. Chas V'Shalom, he didn't call him a derogatory name, you're a guy, you're Ayvik HaChavim. What he meant is, what are you so busy with the goyim? And I'm asking you a question, that why is there a difference between these two acts? How do you bring the Ovdei Kochavim into the story? Amar Rava, Shapakara Ovdei Kochavim, Ovdei Kochavim. He was right for demonstrating and not being happy with what he's saying. Why? Bishlam Ahasam, Midahavaleli Mishkat Ruba. In a case where a Jew begins the Shechita, and the Akum completes the Shechita, Midah Havalei Yisrael Mishchat Ruba, the Jew should have done Roy, Shechted Roy with a Simen, V'loy Shachat, he didn't do that. So we have a situation, Kinafke Chiyusa B'yadah Da'ev K'cham Kinafke. Again, going back to the concept that we've been learning our entire year, we look at the moment of expiration, and the moment of expiration, who caused the animal's death? That 51% mark? The guy. The guy's Shechit is no good. Ela Hacha, and on the other hand, it was the reverse. So the Jew caused the death, and it's fine. How here, Mechti Mishcha Shachet, there's no guy here. The Jew's doing the entire act. And therefore, the question remains, Mali B'makam Nekev, Mali Pagama Nekev, it should be kosher under both cases. We begin now to discuss a subject that we discussed extensively in Masechta Zvachim. We've been learning in our Masechta Baruch Hashem that the halacha is that you're supposed to shecht a chicken, a bird, you're supposed to do shechita. We'll discuss it more in the coming shiur. In the Beis Hamikdash, when they brought a carbon on Eif, they didn't do shechita, they did malika. I'm not going to go into all the details of malika, because those are the sugyas that we're going to learn. But the basic fact of malika is that the kohen takes his fingernail and penetrates the back of the neck of the animal. And our Mishnah and Gemara Mitzvah Shem is here to show the differences between Shechita and Malika. Says the Mishnah, Shechem and Tzadim. If somebody doesn't shecht a bird from the front, but rather from the side, Shechitasuk Sheva. So there's a very big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand this case. Rashi says, the way to understand the case is as the Mishnah says, that instead of cutting the neck of an animal from the front, where you're going to hit the simonim immediately, because that's where you have the cut of Veshit, you start by the side, and you hit the cut of Veshit, and the Mishnah is teaching us that it's kosher. Tosfos disagrees. Why? Because Tosfos says, if you're going to shecht that way, you're not hitting the cut of Veshit immediately. And shechita means that you're hitting the cut of Veshit immediately. And therefore, Tosfos says, when the Mishnah speaks about a case of Shaychem and Tzadim, what the Mishnah means is that you manipulate the simonim to be on the side of the neck of the animal, and that's how you shecht. But this machloikis in the pshat of the Mishnah also is relevant lahalocha. According to Rashi, the Mishnah is teaching us how Shaychem and Tzadim is kosher. You don't need to do anything. You just start on the side, and you shecht that way, you're fine. According to Tosfos, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means that you manipulated the simonim. So therefore, they go on to say, according to Rashi, Hashoichel mitzdodim is kosher l'chatchila. According to Tosfos, it's only kosher b'diavad. Why? Because you have to manipulate the simonim, and we're concerned that you're not going to manipulate them properly, and therefore you shouldn't shech mitzdodim l'chatchila, according to Tosfos. Have malik mitzdodim, but what about if you did malika from the side of the neck of the animal? Everybody will agree that it's psula. Because as I said, and we'll learn in the Gemara, Malika has to be in the back of the neck, not on the side. Hashaychem and Ayurif, now another din. If you shech the animal on the back, shechitas a psula. Hamarlik min Ayurif, but if you do Malika in the back, shechitas a kshera. And the reverse, Hashaychem and Atzaver, if you shech the neck, shechitas a kshera. Hamarlik min Atzaver, malikas a psula. Actually, this line in the Mishnah is a raya to Tosfos. Because if according to Rashi, Hashoichem and Atzadim is kosher l'chatchila, why does the Mishnah have to differentiate between the first line and this line? According to Tosfos, it's very understandable. Hashoichem and Atzadim is only kosher b'diavad. Hashoichem and Atzaver is kosher l'chatchila. So that's why the Mishnah puts it into two separate cases. But according to Rashi, that we're explaining that Hashoichem and Atzadim is kosher l'chatchila. So it's all the same, and at Savim and at Stadim, what if the Mishnah separated into two separate cases? Shekal Arif Kosh L'Malika. We'll call it Savar. The Arif is Kosh L'Malika, and the Tzavar is Kosh L'Shchita. Nimsa, so what is our result? Kosh L'Shchita, Pasva Malika. What's good for Shchita is Pasva Malika, and Kosh Malika is Pasva Shchita. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah says the Malika is done on the Arif. Ask the Mamai Arif, what does it mean, the Arif? Ilayma Arif Mamish, that you did just the back of the head, ask the Gemara, Ma yiri shaychit? I feel in my l'knami, that just like you can't do shchit on that spot, you can't do malik on that spot either. Because what does the Torah say? When the Torah speaks about malika, the Torah doesn't say oirif, the Torah says, v'mul amrachmana, v'loi arpai, not the back of the head, the mul arpai. El my oirif, what does the Mishnah would say, oirif, mimul oirif? The area below the back of the head. Kidiktani Seifa, Kala Arif Kasha Malika. And the Mefarshim, the two Pshatim and Rishonim, how to explain this line. If we're just speaking about the back of the head, it's a very small spot. So why does Mishnah use the word Kala Arif? If we're speaking about the entire area below the back of the neck, below the back of the head, then the word Kol. Another Pshat is, the Mishnah says Kol Hatzavar. So if we're saying that's Kala Arif, so it's corresponding. But if we're saying it's just the back of the head, that's not the corresponding area to the neck. Ask the Gemara. So now we're reinterpreting the Mishnah. The Mishnah used the word Ayrif, but we're saying it means Mimul Ayrif, below. Minohan Mili, the Tanar Rabbanan, Mimul Arpoi, Mul HaRoyas Ayrif. Not the Ayrif itself, but the part that sees it. The Kena Ayrif, the Pasuk says, that Balak said, V'hu Yashib Mimuli, V'arma Kikpana Lai Ayrif Laipanim. Ask them, why do we need a pasuk from Yirmiyah? It would bring a pasuk from the Chumash. My v'aymer, v'chitem oirif gufa lo yedin and hecha. We don't know exactly what is the oirif, the nay the mul that they hecha have, that what's the mul? Toshma, kipane lo yirif v'lo yponim. Mechlal, the Arif lahad upon him. The Arif is facing the face. It's the opposite of the face. And the Mul Arif is the area below. This is very negay la'alocha. The halacha is that the kesher of the tefillin, the halacha is, it says, has to be on the Arif. So people are not careful that they put, they're not careful to make sure that the kesher on the back of the tefillin is not too low. Because the Arif, we're learning now, is above the Mul Arif. So it has to be higher on the top of the head, in the back of the head, rather than lower on the back of the head.